And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Fear, and declare your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. Dr. Judy Mikovits is on. Let me give you a little introduction to Dr. Judy. Dr. A. Mikovits earned a BA in chemistry from the University of Virginia in 80 and a PhD in biochemistry and molecular biology from George Washington University in 92. In her 35-year career, she has done pioneering work in immunology, epigenetics, virology, and natural products drug development, including discovery of the modulation of DNA methylation machinery by human retroviral infection. That's very important. You should remember that, be on the test. And the concept of inflammatory cytokines. All right. God, man. Freaking talking to these doctors. All right. So,
Cytokines.
I knew that. I was testing you. And chemokine signatures of infection and disease. In 2014, she and Kent Heckenlively co-authored the book Plague, which was about her experiences when she challenged the vaccinations and went, oh, hell no. Now, that's what we're going to be talking about here directly. What I want to do is there are a bunch of articles and stuff that's going on and going out now that is exactly the campaign that you would expect from them trying to, oh, hell no, the slaves are getting learnified and we don't want to have that. You know, they're not allowed. So I'm going, okay. The articles, what are some of the ones? I got vaccines have risks as well as benefits and require informed consent. You know, that. So this comes from the editorial board of the Journal of American Physicians and Surgeons. Now, this is Jane Orient and friends, and I knew about them from back when Hillary was trying to have national health care, and they, you know, rose up. But they've been around a long time out of here out of Tucson. So they're... whole point is just force. You know, we're going to make it. We're going to have notions and potions, you know, from the crown and this here hypodermic. We're going to, you know, stick into your baby's flesh and get over it because we know better than you. I'm like, whoa, there's your first problem. Then we have an article, Vaccine Extremism, Hate Speech, and the Well-Beaten Path Towards Genocide. Now, this is really about, as I look through this, about the campaign and how Big Pharma and these guys operate, you know, what they're doing, and the trolls and the threats, and the, you know, just vaccinate your... Oh, here's one I just got to read. It was typical. You see this kind of stuff, and it's like paid for or something, you know? It's just this kind of rhetoric and this, I'll break your effing jaw, you dumb bitch. Vaccinate your effing kids, you know? This is the kind of stuff that you're saying. I'm going, are these real people? Or are they incentivized to be this way? Are they paid? Are they robots? But you're going to get it. And here it comes. And it, all the other issues be damned. It's just in promotion of something's crazy about you for not wanting to take the forced medications of your children by the crown. And somehow that makes you crazy. Whoa, this is a gaslighting thing. If we know what that means, we'll get into that. All right. How accurate are the Surgeon General's claims on marijuana? They have a claim on marijuana. Who cares what they say anymore anyway? Is vaccine safety too dangerous for us to even discuss? By Brittany Schaefer. We just had Brittany Schaefer on. She's a daughter of Professor, law school professor Butler Schaefer, retired. And his daughter, Brittany, I remember when she was young. You know, she's still kind of young. But she's out there going, man, let me tell you this about taking a principal position and kicking butt. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s response to the message of measles, what the New Yorker wouldn't publish. Now, before we go on to each one of these by Dr. Judy, I wanted to mention RFK Jr. gave a speech outside of the legislature in California when they passed this elimination of an exemption. And this is what Dr. Judy and I had talked about, God, a year or two ago, when the pharma was doing the bribing of WIG, women in government, and they get $1 million grant if they can pass a mandate or eliminate an exemption. Well, they're doing all that all over the place and give me the money. So this is exactly what we anticipated happening. But RFK Jr. came out and he said, man, we're going to kick us some butt. And these guys are bad guys and we got to show them the pain, which he's going to do through lawsuits and I can do through politics. So I'm like here, we're already setting it all up, going into the Vaccine Education Summit a week from this Saturday on the 28th of September. And we got great speakers lined up. Of course, Dr. Judy Mikovits is one of them and was at our first summit. And really, this whole thing was because of Judy. When her telling me this story, boom, 10 days later, we had a summit because hell no, we'll let him get away with this. Now, before we get into this segment, Dr. Judy, of these articles that I brought up, which one you want to go into the break with?
Well, I think it's nice to talk about what Robert F. Kennedy's open letter, and then we'll get to Brittany, but the message of what the New Yorker won't publish, because this wouldn't publish. And this is, you know, we talked several weeks ago when I was on about the New Yorker, and this is, you know, our prime thing with the Education Summit, with what we do every couple of weeks here, is just to educate people, to show them, you know, the lies, as your show starts out with. So, you know, you can't take, you know, a half-truth, and a half-truth doesn't equal a truth. So the New Yorker won't publish the response, whereas what they do publish, and a couple of weeks ago they published an article saying, oh, vaccine court, you know, we have a court set up and they get very few claims and they don't do anything and they won't publish. They're literally changing the data and covering up the corruption that is vaccine court. Well, this is the same thing with this Nick Baumgarten's article in the New Yorker that the measles act vaccines and all about us irrational anti-vaxxers and how irrational we are, since vaccines, the risks are so low and the rewards are so enormous. And in fact, scientifically, nobody can say that any vaccine of the 70 vaccine doses of, I don't know how many, 16 vaccines is on the schedule, saves more lives than it costs.
I want it to cost my kids. That's one thing, freedom. It's all for the benefit of the collective, and they can justify anything. If 51% of the people get whatever, the other, you know, 49 got to die or something. This is not freedom. And I'm glad that to see the rhetoric has to move towards freedom on a fundamental, mental, principled way. And it's going to be argued as a freedom issue, not to be poisoned by the notions and potions of the crown. That freedom to not be forced is what Dr. Jane Orient is talking about. It's what RFK is starting to get into. I knew this was where it was going to go. You think it's heading there, Dr. Judy?
Oh, it's been there, and they're scrambling big time, and they're using the New Yorker every week. You can tell that the message comes out against what we're saying, and they just keep coming out saying, oh, greater good, greater good, greater good. Well, it's not greater good, and, you know, that's why, you know, I'm a scientist, and I know, number one, none of these vaccines have ever been tested in combination. So these idiots think if you put an antigen in one leg, that the immune system doesn't see the one you put in the other leg at the same time. And how does the immune system know what the problem is if you've injected one virus into one arm and another into the other? Somehow they think that's Somehow they think that's immunity and they won't react together or combine to have a synergistic toxic effect. And we're seeing it over and over and over again, the toxic effects. And scientifically, when we educate scientists and doctors, wait a minute, that's not tested the way a cancer drug is.
We'll be right back. Letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com. Judy, can you see the screen? Are you looking at the screen?
Yes, I can. I see the promo video for Dale.
Have you seen that? No, this is something a local here made for the education summit for Irene. Have you seen the video?
I haven't watched it yet, but I have it.
Okay. We'll
we can look at it. That would be fun.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Let me see if I got the sound.
This is all we talk about. We travel and we try and translate to different audiences and educate them and show them how to look at the New York Times and show them how to look at the Wall Street Journal and how to look at the Walgreens TV commercial where the last thing you see is the pregnant woman with the little baby, her elder child on her stomach, and she's got the two red Band-Aids because she got the flu shot.
Wow, this is
sick. It makes me sick. It's hard to watch.
This is going to be, when this comes out, that's one thing. The first hour we had Jacob Hornberger, which from the Future Freedom Foundation, is probably going to be one of the candidates running for president as a libertarian. And, of course, he is libertarian. You know, it's going to be no force, coercion, yada, yada. So he's going to be on this issue, but he's going to be talking about a lot of other stuff, too. Then the second hour, we had a men's naturopath doctor here that I know from a friend. And so he come up and talked about it. Now, he started his medical school when he was 50. So he, you know, came in this late. He had lymphoma and or Hodgkin's lymphoma or whatever. So he cured himself. He did the chemo and everything, but he came out of that going, yeah, this is, and he felt so bad. It was a naturopath in Dallas that cured him. You know, he did this nutrition Tom Brady thing. He's like, what the hell, man? So he went on to be a doctor and advocate for nutrition and health and such. So we're building up to this awareness. All right, here we're coming back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. 2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're going to play this commercial. Let's see if we can do this. This is for the vaccine.
Do you suffer from tension related to vaccine misinformation? Are you frequently dizzy from the attacks on your constitutional rights? Do you find it increasingly difficult to focus on scientific facts in the face of nonstop propaganda? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Ask yourself if the Vaccine Education Summit, VES, is right for you. VES is a single-dose extended-release event held on Saturday, September 28th from 8 to 5 at the Sheraton Crescent Phoenix and is specially formulated with experts in science, medicine, law, and public policy. These experts work synergistically to bring you the latest facts related to vaccines, immunology, scientific and medical research, public policy, and parental rights. Those who tried VES in 2016 reported zero adverse effects. Nearly all participants reported that VES was easy to digest and experienced immediate relief of symptoms. VES is not recommended for those with difficulty swallowing the truth. Side effects of VES may include the ability to articulate facts about vaccines and medical freedom, more confidence in speaking to legislators and other stakeholders, and a renewed sense of purpose accompanied by urges to speak out. Missed information is a common problem, but the Vaccine Education Summit is here to help. Go to tinyurl.com/AZVES2019 to learn more. Vaccine Education Summit 2019 is brought to you by the Arizona Coalition for Medical Freedom and Freedoms Phoenix. Seating is limited. Your ticket includes lunch and admission to the summit. Hotel accommodations must be reserved and purchased separately.
Vaccine Education Summit .com. Okay, that is very nice of someone, just a volunteer, you build it and they come, did that. And I'm going, and it's kind of follows that. You know, that big pharma, everybody's jumping around, smiling in the fields of, and then they read right. off this 20-second, all the adverse effects thing. And I'm right. going, this is, so I thought that was really creative, but it was done before Del Bigtree was added, so he's not included, and that's what he gets for being a slacker. So we have, Del included, somebody, because he had a big speaking fee and kind of more like, and a sponsor donated, and boom, Del's coming. So you happy about that?
Oh, I'm really happy about that. He's great. He's worth every penny of those speaking fees because, I mean, he really tells it like it is. And he knows, he's spent all those years, getting the message across, which, sometimes I have difficulty getting the message across because I talk like a scientist. Well, he's able to break that down and say it in a way that people really understand it. So I love that. I love that part in the commercial you just showed in the video. Not recommended for those who have difficulty swallowing the truth. That's perfect.
Well, she had sent Irene the script and kind of she's like, well, yeah, cool. And then, boom. this is the kind of talent you got. This is the point that I'm making. Saturday at the Arizona Breakfast Club, Irene did a presentation and she went, God, at least 2-3 hours. And a lot of it was great information. And it's just, we're overwhelmed, these guys. Anything they say, if you're informed and you got access to information, like going to Vaccine Education Summit, this is what cuts down my arguments with doctors and politicians and bureaucrats and everything. They'll start in on their blah, blah, blah. And I go, I'm a libertarian. Oh, not buying it, huh? Okay, we're done. I mean, they already know where this goes. I don't even recognize your justification to exist, man, much less have telling me what to do. So I go, look, I'm libertarian. And it just, boom, the nurse coming in wanting to, all you babies need your baby lovers need your pertussis and grandpa first and everybody fall in line behind the patriarchy, get your butt over here, libertarian, yep, top of the morning to you and they leave. Anybody else is sitting there arguing, don't you think that you really want to have this conversation? Nope, had it with a libertarian before. So this is, I had Supreme Court Justice Clint Bolick on. His wife is a state legislator in my district. I got a request to meet with her. Irene is meeting with her today. We go to the hotel today, Irene and Earlene and I, final negotiations and numbers and whatever. And I hate giving a number because the rate of signups are like 10, 20 a day now. I mean, it's getting to where we're going to negotiate. We may have to get a bigger room. So expanding it. Of course, Irene goes, well, where's all your libertarians signing up? Seems like it's all the anti. I go, yeah, What you think libertarians need all this information? We already know, got to whip. But a lot of them are coming out of support, you know, because they just want to be there and support and do it. But this is going to be from the populace. Irene's working on the legislators is one thing that I do not do. But I'm glad that they're there. I don't want them to get access to a microphone and get to say, I'm supporting. See, I got my picture done. They're going to have their photographers there when they, you know, they'll introduce legislation. 2 weeks of it went through a couple of committees, and then they abandoned it, never talk about, do anything, nothing. Yeah, but I introduced it and vote for me. That is not good enough for me. I've seen this stuff play out over and over the decades. Lion sacks of snot. If they're not there defending parental individual rights and mandates of crown in my flesh, needles of, notions and potions, then what the hell good are they? So I'm going to be a butthead this election season. Watch and learn. You ready?
Yes, sir. I'm ready. I think the whole education summit, when people wake up and see, just like you did in that video, when they see the commercials, like you, everybody la 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 running happy, and hear this, the next 20 minutes are how many side effects this drug has, and why I gave you some of those articles is because now the push in the legislature is for informed consent of teenagers. So parents are not allowed to have informed consent, that is, know what's in the vaccines. And now they're actually introducing legislation in many states that says a teenager, a 12-year-old, I believe, can consent to their own vaccines, and we can keep a secret that these children, we can keep the secret from the parents, and that these children have the constitutional rights for informed consent that their parents don't have.
Okay, now, you want to go down that road, fine. You know, they're trying to do it for abortions, you know, for pregnant teenagers, right? Don't have to tell mom and dad. They want to do it for vaccinations and so on. You start going down this road, they do informed consent. Well, teenagers being educated about some other stuff, informed consent of, you know, some other things, and seeing that voting age at 12 or something. I mean, you know, if you guys want to play this game, fine, but they're never consistent. It's always for one limited thing for what they want. And the fact that they even bring this stuff up is, one, abhorrent to so many people, but they're getting away with it right up until they don't. Now, this is what's going on in the media, and you can, you know, and what Brittany was talking about and what RFK is talking about is that in the media, they are controlled, and they are saying it is all just like this social justice warrior in. Comedians need not apply. You're not allowed to say anything. You're not allowed to talk about vaccines or education of any of this stuff around the world. They're shutting it down. Why? Because they have to. Because what they're selling is poison to a lot of people, and they need the freedom to avoid it. Here it comes.
I'm a little obsessed.
Here it comes.
Here it comes. Okay, now we got the physicians and American physicians and surgeons. Donna, go ahead and see if Jane Orient will come on and talk about this. You know, just schedule her. I want to talk to her about vaccines. Yeah, she's the head of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. I know who she is. Matter of fact, you know, I go to monthly meetings with her. She spoke at one of the meetings like May, I think. The vaccine extremism hate speech article, I'd like to get into that sooner or later. You want to do that one?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I love that, because that's the thing. They're coming off with more and more hate speech. So all we're here to do is very calmly show the pictures. Why are you arresting in the streets of Sacramento mothers and grandmothers who are protecting their children and standing there peacefully with a sign? You know, this brings up images of Selma, you know, and you know, you know, RFK Jr., he knows, you know, you were before the show came on, you were talking about, you know, his father and his assassination. Well, we're in the same kind of revolution where we're talking about basic human rights that are recognized, you know, around the world for our whole lives. And now People are waking up because we are showing them these commercials. We're showing them the truth. We're showing them how to look at TV. And once you show them and say, you know, watch this commercial from Walgreens on the flu shot. Once you do that, everybody's like, are you kidding me? And they see the fraud. All you have to do is open
it
up.
Yeah, back in 11, when we first started covering this, we went to, we had a camera team. A couple of guys went to a Walgreens, and one of the guys was a nurse. And they went and they said, okay, where's your vaccine information pack? It has like a little white piece of paper, has all the whatever. Don't know what you're talking about. All right, well, the person that's given it, we need to know the, don't know what you're talking about. They went through, well, don't you know that you need to have on camera, don't know what you're talking about. And I'm going, wow, this is, they're just lining you up and don't care, and there's no lawsuit of anything anyway, and yeah, make me. And I'm, so we made such a big deal out of this that we went and ambushed, interviewed the governor, you know, running for re-election, and, you know, are you going to this and that and so on. And finally, they could see this was not going to be a good campaign issue, and they backed off. But now Big Pharma has come in big with big money and a lot of, you know, this article and this national blah, 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 to get them to feel comfortable about taking away my rights and making me sick. And I'm going, this is, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And I knew this was coming. When we first started, you know, talking, this is not surprising to me. Where we are now and how this argument is built up to, are you surprised that it's gotten to the fever pitch that it is now? Or did you expect it to come earlier or later? What do you think?
Well, I'd hoped it would come earlier, but I'm not surprised at all. It basically says we're winning, because it's interesting, because that New York Times article back June 23rd or 4th came right at the time I was working on several vaccine court cases, and the special masters in the Department of Justice, the DOJ, the people that come after the victims of vaccine injury, they basically, I had written a letter and submitted it, you know, at the end of February. So, and
okay,
called,
we're coming back. Let's talk about it. Here we go.
All right.
Who can put the Liberty Radio Network on the air in your area? Visit broadcast.lrn.fm to learn how. Broadcast.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Change the world. Yeah, revolution be a coming. Here she comes. There, it's a revolution of thought. It's just general public opinion. And this is when you start seeing polls. You know, all the political polls, all, you know, the approval ratings of them. Yeah, ouch, quit it, don't care. What I'm very interested in is the general public opinion of things like media sucks, Congress sucks, government sucks in general. They all suck. Healthcare industry sucks. Pharma sucks. They had, you know, the headline wasn't people have the lowest opinion of Big Pharma than any other institution. The headline was congressmen are hated amongst the populace almost as much as pharma. So I'm going, they're number one. They're number one. So this change that we're seeing in just a general public opinion, this is where I dwell. This is where I know nothing else sticks unless you got that. Nothing else works unless you got parents and grandparents willing to be arrested and know that they're going to get a nice stripe on their activist sleeve of look back upon a, being a freaking hero in the years to come because they got arrested standing up for individual health rights and against the man doing guinea experiments on their grandchildren. So we're at that point, and it's starting to happen right not later. Now, the 2020 election cycle, Dr. Judy and I talked about this before. Tell the audience, refresh their memory on Big Pharma and the offer to the WIG, the Women in Government gathering.
Literally, the HHS Health and Human Services, you know, went to different states and went to women in government and women in science, and particularly doctors, physicians, and said, you know, we'll give you, you know, women, you know, it's like, you know, it's going to take women scientists to convince moms and grandmothers, because women have long lost trust in men who, their health only mattered. Remember when we only used men in,
You're only mansplaining.
So they basically gave them the same bribes they're giving physicians everywhere. You know, there's a lot of money to be made in practices. And your previous guest, the naturopathic doctor, just talked about it. You know, when we go back to a cash business and those people aren't coming in the door because they're not, this is what we've been saying for the last 10 years, but with you for 5 years, just don't go. How do you stop vaccine injury? Don't go near a doctor. And you will be just fine. And this is the way we used to do it. This is the way my mother did it. You know, it's like, no, you're not going to a doctor. You're not sick.
Yeah, you know, this well baby visit thing.
This is crazy.
They just make this stuff up as they go along. But
they do.
Well, you know, I'm looking at the vaccine industry is making a big effort, and they were offering bribes to women in government that were elected officials that they're saying. And what else do they call it? And you're saying it was national health. Was it who was offering the grants to these legislators to pass mandates and eliminate exemptions?
It was Health and Human Services. The
wait,
NIH.
whoa, time out. That wasn't even a big pharma company thing. That was a government thing to state legislators.
Yes.
Whoa. Back the truck up on that one. I had no idea. I thought this was an industry thing that they were offering this. Okay, let me get this straight. A national federal government agency is offering bribes to state legislators to make more mandates on vaccines and eliminate exemptions. How far off am I?
Yeah, they call them grants. And you get your little NIH grant if you go along with the program.
Who gets the grant?
The women in government. The
you mean an actual legislator?
Yeah, they get the money.
How is that not a bribe?
Well, I know. They call it a grant.
Hey, wait. Holy crap. Man, you got to say global warming saved the squirrel vaccines, and man, you're in the money. Okay,
right.
So this is how it worked. You have the National Institute of Health. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, National Institute of Health, a representative from the United States America federal government, goes to a meeting of women legislators and said, you get $1 million grant if you can forward this policy in your state that, you know, my former employer at Big Pharma said, now I work here for the government.
Right.
Okay, I missed that part. When we first talked about this, I thought that, well, it was Big Pharma, but I mean, it had a shiny badge on it from the federal government offering these grants for state legislators. Of course this stuff was going to happen. What'd you think was going to happen?
And that's what people, you know, it's interesting in our world today. People have, you know, Big Pharma is HHS. Big Pharma equals Centers for Disease Control, CDC. Big Pharma equals FDA. Federal Food and Drug Administration. Big Pharma equals a National Heart, Lung, and Blood Supply, Lung Blood Institute. The blood supply is safe. This is in our new book, a whole chapter about how in 2011, when we found the blood supply so heavily contaminated, they ganged up on everybody. A big pharma company named Cirrus won the big money, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars to clean up the blood supply. The scientists got paid to shut their mouth that it was contaminated. And everybody that got infected with the contaminated blood supply, because Judy Mikovits was talking it was contaminated, went away. And Judy Mikovits went away. They erased us, you know, and they just basically waited for us all to die if they couldn't Epstein me while I was in jail. And now at least I have a word for it. Because Wakefield, it doesn't quite fit. Scientifically, it does, but they didn't jail him and try to kill him and try to get him to kill himself. So they're doing the same techniques over and over and over again to cover up the fraud that's going on. And people seem to have no trouble understanding the fraud and corruption led to the opioid debacle. And everybody's like, oh, those bad pharma companies, they did opioid. Well, the FDA, maybe 3 months ago, just approved at record speed the most powerful opioid ever. 3 months ago. You know, where's the opioid? So the FDA is the same and is as the as Big Pharma. They're not going to stop it. They're just going to cover it up. But, you know, and they understand Vioxx debacle. You know, they're experimenting on people. So those women in government that they paid off, they have to find the victims for the experiments. It's called post-licensure, you know.
Okay, I want to see. Now, there have been some successes for them in getting some of this stuff that they're going to have to pay out. They promised, show me my money. You know, I want to see some of the payouts on this and who got it and how and where it went. Who's doing that? Who's tracking that?
Well, nobody, because they're covering it up. And the best example of that is Vaccine Court. And so Vaccine Court brings in so-called experts, pro-vax, to say, hey, these things are just fine. I'm Dr. MD, PhD, so-and-so from Yale or Harvard or some of these other corrupt institutions. And they get paid huge grants, you know, tens of millions of dollars of grants to do research for going to these courts. They get paid by Big Pharma. They have conflicts of interest everywhere.
And where you go, they call on Dr. All right, tell us what's really up. And they go, you're not allowed. And when you we're not going to pay you.
And they refuse to pay us. Well, did you know, and Wayne Rohde's going to talk about this at the summit, did you know that nobody can know how much the government pays to the DOJ and the medical experts that opine in these cases along with me?
Okay, wait a minute. So they say, we're not going to pay you, but we're going to pay them, and you're not allowed to know how much we pay them.
Nobody can know how much they pay them, but they make it very clear to show everybody in the world in court documents that they refuse to pay us, and they ruin your careers.
Because they can. All right, more. VaccineEducationSummit.com. Go check it out, man. Tickets are going fast. Yeah, it's good to see that there's, we're going to have enough. I mean, you know, my big thing is that from my experience in doing these things, when you hit the number of about 120, you know, you get 110, 120, and then you're boom. You got a nice, you know, enough critical mass to get some stuff going. People, you know, are excited and they're talking, but you're still small enough that you can talk with the speakers and have the lunch and the dinner and kind of what's up. Then when you get it, you start to lose that at about 220. So I'm secretly kind of hoping we don't break more than 200 too much, but we might. And the thing is I'm just, that once it starts getting over that, you start losing that, which is fine, and more the merrier, but I think it's going to be a nice, very well-informed go out from there meeting, but I'm certain it'll be infiltrated by they, them, those, or somebody's going to be in there doing something. And if they start, you know, asking, you know, kind of this, but what about, you know, they're going to out themselves. It's going to be obvious, you know, what happens. But so I encourage your participation. I don't care. Irene's really pushing on some legislators to go. And I'm not feeling it. You know, these guys, they had enough time and enough information if they really wanted, and they were in powerful positions to really control the legislation so it didn't go any further than committee. And a lot of these guys, I know they feel that they've got something, they have some influence and they can have some future power and you attract more flies with honey kind of thing. And I'm like, since when the hell did I want to attract flies anyway? When did that happen, you know? So I don't care about these legislators other than them feeling the pain. And I don't give a crap if you introduce legislation. That doesn't mean anything other than show me how much you're really going to work for it. And if you're not, You're just taking up space and you're delaying tactic. And I don't think that these activists here understand how they're being used. They're going, oh, yeah, we're on for this. They don't do anything. They just say nice stuff, get an article in the paper, and it's done. When the chairman of the Rules Committee, I think is Boyle, it doesn't matter. He's my senator, District 20 senator here where I live. And he introduced the legislation in early February. Before the end of the third week in February, it had passed a couple of committees and it was done, never heard it from it again, even though it was sent to be read at the Committee of the Whole, which means that the House would get the vote on it, you know. They never do that. They go introduce it, they get a bunch of press, CNN says this, the Arizona paper go, oh my goodness, whatever, the other side gets to have a say, it passes command, and it's done, and you never hear about it again since the end of February. It's done. It just never made it through. But he introduced for us. I go, that's lobbyist talk. That's like a lobby. I used to say, I got it in committee, we had legislation, it don't mean jack shit. I am so sick of this. So that's where I come in. They, you know, you deal with Irene and the parents and the grandparents over here, or you deal with the pain. And I like bringing some pain. He come to pain. So we're being creative in what we're coming up with for that. And I may even run for state legislature. We're going to see what, because I didn't know that my district was so compact. I have a really good, you know, easily marketable district. It's small, it's tight, with high traffic areas, lots of signs. They'll know that we said hello, I guarantee that. So that might be something. We're working on it. But, you know, we'll talk about the summit. All right, we're coming back. Here we go.
All right. Get LRN.FM into more ears. Visit promote.lrn.fm for a free bumper sticker, flyers, banners, graphics, and more. Promote.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone. Those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show. She's so complex. She's on fire, fire. The heat is coming on. The girl's on fire, fire.
She burn all alone. Yeah, a little bit dangerous. Oh, Dr. Judy Mikovits, she's going to come explain it to everybody. You know, this is, you looked at the lineup on the Vaccine Education Summit, and you just have to go, wow, well, that's better not. You know, this looks kind of cool. You know, talk about some of the speakers and what you think, how the summit's going to come out.
Well, I just mentioned Wayne Rohde. So he's been looking at the corruption in vaccine court for probably as long, the whole 30 years that it's existed. And so, I mean, he can show you and he will show you how the government does exactly what we were talking about before the break. You know, and what the people, most people don't even know there is a vaccine court, this super secret court. There's not even a shingle on the window in Washington when you go there. And I went there a year or so ago last fall, right around this time, with a 15-year-old who was injured by the Gardasil vaccine, severely injured. And you go there and the parents were so upset because there's nothing, there's no shingle, there's no nothing, nobody knows about this, nobody's outside. And here's this court attacking this child, attacking these parents, literally attacking her because she put a smiling face on Facebook of her smiling, and she didn't show the lesions on her arm. She didn't show the huge damage done to her face. You know, and they're like, there's nothing wrong with you. You faked that. What teenager is going to show herself looking, you know, like an Auschwitz patient who's got some horrible disease because she's got red lesions and huge rashes all over her body and her face? So she goes on Facebook because she hasn't been to school in months. So this corruption, Wayne's going to tell you, and we can keep telling you, why don't they say what they pay these judges? You know, why do they keep these cases going for 5 and 6 years and beat up the family? Last week, Dell had on his show a woman whose child died in March of SIDS. Her little daughter died in, this is Dell Bigtree's High Wire show on Thursdays at 11 o'clock Pacific time. And so he had a mother on there. He started a series to just show the victims. And her baby died within 48 hours of her six-month-old vaccine.
You know, that was another thing. That we, there was this SIDS apprehension, sudden infant death syndrome. Yes. They're just dropping dead in the cribs. What up? We don't know. Vaccines? Holy crap that they can hold this off as long as they did. But now they're, and whenever you do have these problems, we need to put that in a different category of a. It's like when you get cancer, they go, they didn't die of cancer. They died of infection from the cancer treatment.
Right. They died of starvation from the cancer treatment. They died of, opportunistic. They died of AIDS and acquired immune deficiency from the cancer treatment. You know, and so this is what we're starting to appreciate. So you're going to hear Wayne and you're going to hear Del Bigtree show these stories. And what this mom recounted, and I had to turn it off because it got too close to home for me, because we're doing several of these cases now, like the young woman, she actually lost her case. Oh, the vaccine did nothing to you. You're just a crazy teenager and you're anorexic. You know, you went from a beautiful gymnast and marathon and runner and triathlon runner to a person that looked like they walked out of Auschwitz with 90 some pounds, 80 pounds. That's vaccine injury, folks. Anorexia is a side effect of the Gardasil vaccine. SIDS killed this woman's child, and what the government did, what the public health official, that's why it's so important that California not give medicine to public health officials, because what they're doing is they're just getting paid and they're stamping the envelope, and they blame the mother for co-sleeping with the child. They said the child suffocated in bed with the mother. And nothing could be further from the truth. They refused to do the autopsy to show the inflammation in the brain. They had evidence of that. They just simply threw it all away. And the public health official began, the coroner began attacking the mother and saying, if you don't make this go away, we'll destroy you. And this is what happens.
I mean, they actually say this stuff. They sit them down, talk to them, let me explain it to you.
He's on the show. It was High Wire last week. And Dell will show you videos and show these people. And that's when your audience, me and Dr. Jack Lyons-Weiler and I, we talk a little bit sciencey. Jack does better than I do at not talking sciencey. But we put the mechanisms to it so the doctors in the audience understand. But Dell and Wayne Rohde will put the faces to it. So you've got, and then the young, is it Jonathan Lockwood?
Yeah.
You know, I love to see the 35 and 40 year olds, because, you know, we're getting too old. I'm 61. I've been doing this for science for 40 years. And we're getting too old. We have to convince the grandmothers. We have to get our grandparents to see this isn't how their world was. You're just fine. My husband's 81. He was never inoculated with anything because he was, quote, a non-responder. So from the first smallpox or whatever vaccine he got, he didn't get the little cowpox mark. So they said, he doesn't respond. He'll be fine. So that's an 81, and he's fine. He's not teeming with infection. How can an unvaccinated child hurt your child? If your child is immune, good. Well, the fact is, vaccinated does not equal immune. And this is what people are waking up to from the simple fact that you're just looking around. The teachers are saying, the sickest kids in the school. So when we come in.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm noting. It's like it is becoming very obvious to whom. Teachers, they'll come in. We have our grandchildren. They somehow somebody will come up to mother, or they coughing at school or something. Oh, we noticed they don't have their vaccine. You got to stay at home until. All right, fine. I'd rather stay at home anyway. So what's the difference? You know, they come back as well. We need to have validation that they don't have whooping cough or they don't have. So you go to the doctor. Said no, it's over. It's done. He had a cold, sniffles. But they do everything they can to try and pressure you into getting the vaccinations. But what did they see? That they Popeye sick, for half a day. Then they go back to school while everybody else is sick. Who do they see sitting in the class more often? The unvaccinated children. The teachers have to see this.
Yeah, our beautiful four-year-old grandchild, Elijah, he's, totally unvaccinated. He's the tallest. He's the smartest. He's the most. He's the healthiest. healthiest, never a sniffle, never a pimple, never a diaper rash, never nothing. Just a beautiful child whose parents try to get him eating clean and refuse to inject toxins, mainly because of their religion.
You know, that's another thing. This one thing I haven't done the correlation with until you mentioned it. Our kids, our grandkids, and so on, there's not really a diaper rash thing. You know, we don't have near the diaper rash, you know, that, you know, a lot of people, I don't remember there being any, I wonder if that is a side effect of getting immunized.
Yeah, absolutely. Eczema, atopic dermatitis, it's called. So you can see the commercial now of, healthy young people, and they've got this psoriasis drug and that psoriasis drug targeting an overactive immune system. We never had psoriasis of the kid. Sure, it was rare. One kid, you know, they were more genetically susceptible. They were in an environment.
It was just enough people so they had a name for it.
Yeah, and we all have perfectly clear skin. So one of the things I do when I show up, Ernie, is make sure I get a nice haircut and make sure I have a beautiful tan to show you you don't need that sunscreen, you don't have skin cancer, and you don't have anything. We're living in a world where our immune system, our God-given immunity of the skin, of the gut, is protection. There's another commercial on about inflammatory bowel disease. So, the young woman is in a meeting giving a talk, and she has to leave. She holds her stomach, and then they say, you can have fewer inflammatory events. Where does that come from? You know, we don't have that. You know, it's the vaccines.
Okay, wait. You think in Big Pharma, they're, you know, the big push for us to do sunscreen all the time and everything is so we don't have as strong an immune system?
Yes.
Score. Okay, real quick before we run out of time, Diane Douglas is one of the speakers at the Arizona she's the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction from 15 to 18. So recently, she's the only one that hasn't responded to us for doing an interview. Try her again. Oh, she did. Oh, this morning we're going to have her on. All right, cool. Because I wanted yes or no. We're having her on. Yes. So this is. One thing I was wrong going, the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction telling us the inside of how this really works in schools and the vaccination thing. I definitely was wanting to talk to her. I'm like, what the heck? Well, Donna just said she just contacted us more and we're going to have her on. So this is an awesome lineup that we have here. I encourage and Jonathan Lockwood, he understands, man. Yep. You got to bring the pain or they're just going to keep doing what they're doing. Dr. Judy Mikovits. One of the reasons this whole thing got started with our help.
Is spreading the message of liberty.
Yeah, this is, it's always, I remember the scene from V for Vendetta when it was about, you know, they go, well, you already know all the facts. What you need is a story. Well, you got the story. We've been doing the facts and hammering on them, and but we needed a story. And your story was neon flashing example of the story. So I'm going, all right, we're going to have us some fun. And I'm glad that the other people that spoke at the last summit, how are they doing? Like Suzanne and Marbella and so on.
Suzanne had to leave the country because the FBI came after her like they came after me. So that's in our second book, which is what I'll talk about. And by the way, Irene called yesterday, and I'm going to be shipping her 20 copies of the book because we're going to give them to every legislator who attends. They're going to see the plague of corruption, the plague. We're going to give them the plague and let them see, you know, the depth and the breadth. When people read this, when they say, wait a minute, you can't put a 53-year-old woman in jail who doesn't so much as have a parking ticket, and oh, you fabricated the whole thing, and oh, that you removed her civil rights forever, and you held her there until you couldn't Epstein her, and you couldn't hold her there any longer, and then you let her go and ruined her life because she still wouldn't kill herself or allow herself to be killed or give up the data.
Yeah.
And so this is when they read that. So Irene called and I said, yeah, I don't want them to buy. She said, are you going to sell books there? And I said, no, I don't like to sell books because that's not what I'm about. I'm about showing people the truth. And once you see it, like when you watch the movie Vax, like when you and your family watch The Greater Good, when you watch these movies, when you show up in that room like the woman in the front row. So Dr. Suzanne, no, she left. She's in either New Zealand, I think. And you know, it's difficult because
not having any better there. I mean, you know,
she's not. That's the other. That's the only other Western, whatever you call it. I don't like to call it
English speaking world or something.
Yeah, that allows the direct to consumer advertising on TV. You know, consumers aren't supposed to understand the science. That's what doctors do. But unfortunately, our doctors aren't doctors anymore. They're salesmen.
I'm of different. I understand your point, but I'm just like irresponsible speech cure is more speech. You know, so I'm, you know, as long as you can lie and BS and whatever and be held accountable for your lies, your force and fraud. But, you know, you want to say and advocate, well, I don't care. But what has happened is they are actively, systematically shutting down any counter opinion.
Correct.
That is what the problem. I don't mind. Somebody can say whatever the hell they want. But the problem is you know that they're BSing when they don't allow the other side to speak. Free speech is not available for those that challenge the big pharma and status quo of whatever the hell it is.
And that free speech, your life is not available. You're economically destroyed or you're killed.
Yeah, it comes down to
everything goes away.
It comes down to speech. It comes down to you're not allowed to talk. It comes down to this guy and not that guy. It comes down to there you're allowed to speak and have and website and be, you know, monetized and platformed and all that, and this opinion is not. The second you do that, you don't have free speech anymore, and to say you do is a lie. And these guys are going to lie their ass off all the way through every election cycle forever and ever, and the only alternative is like what we're doing with IPFS and storing data forever and it never goes away. And kind of, I feel so much better now that we've done this because now I know these documents and things are always going to be there. And screw you for trying to take it away, you scumbag crown, blah, blah, blah. So this is where it's coming. It's not that I have to have a doctor explain it to me. When somebody gets sick, what happens? They go get learnified. Dr. Dan, what the hell? I just had him on. Yeah, Dr. Daniel Lark, he didn't even start going to medical school until 50 after he had lymphoma. So when he goes in, how much you think you're going to BS a 50-year-old guy?
Right.
You know? They're doing it to these kids, and that's why I'm working with him and Dr. Frank to try and get some scholarships. I'd like to have at least a few representatives of students from the naturopathic school here go. So
I think you'll get them because that we do that every year at Autism One. It's fabulous to have these students, these naturopathic doctors, come and listen to the science. They love it. They eat it up. They don't want to be fed this bullshit. They're smart enough to recognize it, and they don't want to be fed this bullshit. And you're right about the free speech. It's what's interesting about that is when the DOJ, when this vaccine court says we won't pay Ms. Mikovits and Mr. Rossetti. I'm sorry, there is no Mr. Rossetti. All three of them are doctors in that family. And I'm Dr. Mikovits and I'm Mrs. Noldy, thank you. When they won't pay you, they thought we'd just walk away. And we're like, no, we don't work. We work to write our opinions on the paper because it's a legal document and it never goes away. And I will be making every single opinion we wrote, which still stand true to this day, and the orders by these corrupt special masters to make them go away. They force the cases to be dismissed, or the lawyers won't get paid. They guarantee the client loses if Mikovits and Rossetti speak. So when we didn't care about the money. Hey, I don't want to be, I earned a fair wage and I want to be paid a fair wage and I invoiced it and I expect to be paid it. But more importantly, you're not going to make me go away because you refused to pay me. So finally, when that didn't work, when they couldn't stop me from talking, they just told the lawyers, you hire us, you lose. And the client loses and nobody gets paid and we'll sanction you. And all of it is in Plague of Corruption, our second book. So it's not out. It's out for pre-sale on Amazon.
Who wrote it? Just you, or did Kent help you again, or what?
Me and Kent Tech and Lively, same team. It's okay. I'll show the cover. It's on Amazon, and I'll have the cover on my slides for my talk. But it's up for pre-order right now. Plague of Corruption. It's got a beautiful blue cover with a bacteria or a viri on it, whatever. And Luc Montagnier, you'll see, Nobel laureate 2008 for HIV. He's endorsed the book. So go to Amazon right now, look at it, pre-order it. Skyhorse will publish it, same team that was published it before, that published Wayne Rhodey's book, Bobby Kennedy's book. So, you know, Skyhorse has some courage, and they won't allow themselves to, you know, these books to stop coming out there.
You know, I had the publisher from Skyhorse on.
Yeah, you had Tony Lyons.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Donna, schedule him again.
Yeah.
You know, the Skyhorse interview, the publisher.
Yeah, he's the name Tony Lyons.
God, I don't remember. I just remember talking to...
That's it. I remember him on your show.
Yeah, I just remember talking to them. Because my concern, you know, or admiration was the fact that they even published this stuff. You know, I'm just wondering...
Well, he's got an injured child.
Yeah, see, I'm going, how do you get away with, how do you go, because I can't screw them. I mean, you know what?
Yeah.
There's always someone that doesn't go to the back of the bus. There always is. There's always a Judy. See, we had understood this to be an important issue. God, man, we were doing support first responders that say no to mandatory shots back in 11, I think, you know, but it was... I wanted to be on record. I knew this was coming. We made a big, giant woo-hoo, got on press and kicked their butt, and they pushed it back a little while. Then we had the summit. We have you on, and then what did they do? The wig thing. Once
right.
they started giving grants, cash, $1 million to legislators, but I thought it was directly from pharma lobbyists. I had no idea it was the U.S. freaking government.
But see, they're one and the same.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean that they wore the shiny badge. They, you know, which shiny badge you're going to wear? You know, is it pharma or government? And they, you know, took and they put the government one on top of their pharma one. So I'm like, wow, this is. I don't understand what they. I guess they just believe with the use of the media and just beating the crap out of whatever and so on that they will control the narrative. And that's what they are concerned about, what I do. And right. the '90s, the 2000s, I mean, whenever I raise my head, I get what I want to talk about in the election cycle. That's all I care about. I'm like, you know, can I occupy if it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land? Nope, you can live on this sidewalk here and crap, you know, in the gutter, but and you got that, you can own that pretty much. You can live there in the middle of the street, but you can't live on your own land because after 14 days without occupancy permit, of blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what? Yeah, all right, we're going to talk about that and the vaccine thing. These are the two issues that, to me, they're all the same thing. You know, it's just leave me alone with them. So I'm going, these two issues, and I'll probably pick up a third, you know, because I usually do it in threes. But it's usually one main one, maybe two, and a third one over there on the list in case anybody gives a crap. And usually it's like Second Amendment rights or, you know, some other free speech or something like that. But I guarantee, because I have never failed, that I will make one of the main issues of all legislators their position on real property rights and forced vaccinations. I go, this will be it. So I'm going, you guys want to do it the easy way or the hard way? You want to benefit from this or you want to full on, let's go kick ass trash can flyers of I went and skywriting of signs on every overpass kind of thing. Are you sure you want to play? I'm telling you, I'm getting so amped up. I'm getting like, I'm almost giddy. It's like I'm in the starting blocks. Woo, do the gun, man. We're going to get some. So I'm just, and it's going to start with this vaccine education summit, you know, a week from this Saturday.
Whose body is it? Whose real property is it? Whose body is it? Does your child belong to the government? No.
I don't know. I mean, if I put my hand on your shoulder and ask you whose life is this, and you don't say you, it means somebody else owns you or controls you or whatever. I don't know who, but it ain't you. And I'm like, man, it's me. You know, my children, grandchildren, they definitely not to the crown. And that is the mindset that we got to change. But Once you change that, that permeates everything, and that's what I think they fear the most.
Absolutely. It's not, it's me and my God. The only person who owns my body is God. He's the one that made it.
You know, and that's one thing that, you know, when I ever ask that question, I get, you know, somebody that sees it come and they're like, well, you know, it's a, my life belongs to God. I go, you know what? I can live with that. But he made you steward of it. I mean, you're the ones that signs the contract and does the time, right? You're the one that has responsibility. I can show you all kinds of scripture on that one.
And he made you steward of those children. And your job is not to allow aborted fetal tissue and monkey blood and HIV and SIV and you name it injected into those children. No. A day-old baby is your charge. Pregnant woman, that Walgreens commercial just kills me. And they're a red crossed Band-Aid.
Yeah, no, I'm whoa. It's like, did you get vaccinated? It's like you wear your I voted sticker. Woo, look at my Band-Aid. I'm like,
exactly.
You know, it would be like, you know, this is what's going to happen is it'll be things like, I'll tell you right now, because they won't see it coming. I'll sit here and tell them that I'm doing it and they won't even know what the hell to do. There will be a time that there will be some prominent CES pharmacies, you know, Walgreens, whatever, that we will have simultaneous protests and information being passed out in the parking lot to people going in whenever they got these vaccination free discounted, whatever. We got a clerk, you know, put down her cash register for a minute and give you a shot kind of crap. And I'm going, we will be passing out. We'll make, when they do a big push, that's when we'll hit them. And we've done this before on other issues like gun buybacks. When they do the gun buyback, oh, we're going to buy and you turn in your old guns. Well, then we go there and we set up a table. A lot of times have done this. You set up a table, come see us first, and we may give you a lot more than what they're going to give you. They'll give you $50 or $100 or whatever. And we're going, woo, that's worth $300. Give you $250 for it. I mean, you know, so this, when we do that, they get so pissed off that, you know, we're doing that. And then, yeah, we go, yeah, this is junk. Make sure you go get your $50 on this one, you know. And so whenever we do that, they get freaked out. What if you do the same thing with their pushes for vaccinations at Walgreens? You see my point? We're just giving out information, vaccine education. So here, do this. Go look at this. Watch this movie. Is there other movies that are coming up? Vax is going to have a sequel, aren't they?
Well, yeah, there's a movie coming out that Andy Wakefield is making about the act, and that's the National Vaccine Injury Compensation Act. That's this whole thing that started the vaccine court that will pay the injured. Well, wait a minute. You said there are no injured. So there's a movie coming out really soon, I think, on all of that corruption. And so all of the stories I've been telling you and we've got in plague of corruption. You know, we're hoping a movie's coming out soon on plague and plague of corruption on the next story. So,
you know, the one that is there a better one that I should be looking at and promoting than Trace Amounts? I was really blown away by that one.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think all of them should be promoted because Trace Amounts, the greater good, I forgot the name of that. All of these movies together, when you start looking at The Band Played On, I always talk about The Band Played On. It's a movie with Alan Alda, and it's about the AIDS epidemic. Yeah. And if you turn it on now, 20 years later, it'll blow your mind because it opens with Ebola. And so then you think back to the 2014 fabricated Ebola outbreak in Liberia. It wasn't fabricated for the 20,000 or so people that they killed with Ebola from vaccines via Christian missionaries. Yeah, that was real. But what the government portrayed that Ebola as, they literally said, oh, well, if you cough with Ebola, it only goes 3 feet. If you cough with measles, it goes 6 feet. Therefore, it's not contagious, and people everywhere are just laughing. And so, yeah, there are movies and things that Dallas Buyers Club. So the Dallas Buyers Clubs talk again about the AIDS epidemic and how they were forcing these drugs, and they wouldn't let them take drugs like peptide T, the safe immune modulators that were there to cure this epidemic. And then my PhD thesis came out and said, oh, you know, you guys are targeting the wrong cells. And so when you clear the immune landscape and you heal, so there are a lot of movies that currently exist and they haven't been censored yet. And so when people learn to
look they're censored. I mean, you may have them available, but that they're not getting natural promotion from demand of people of searching. I can guarantee that.
Well, and if they're still up, they're fraud. And so what we do is we challenge people to watch them and show the fraud. And it everybody comes to us and says, okay, I found it. And so they know what is real, and they look 30 years later, and, you know, back at the movie, and they look what they're saying now. And so we know they spread HIV around the world with the hepatitis B vaccine. And you can see that all the way through that movie. And now, 30 years later, after 2011, after they shut down Mikovits and Rossetti, who found the retroviruses in the vaccines that are causing the AIDS, you know, yeah, we get that. After we found that, then you, and the blood supply, that was the problem back with Ryan White and Arthur Ashe. When people start looking back, now they look and say, well, wait a minute, the TV says we got a vaccine for HIV. Oh, and my answer is, oh, they didn't kill them the first time, and they think you forgot. So our job here is just to make sure nobody forgets.
I'm going to do our part, because I tell you, it's out of a selfish motivation. It's for, you know, my family and the health of grandchildren, and, you know, I can't be free unless I advocate it for everybody, and I'm doing, this is, it's selfish, selfish, selfish. It's for me, but I understand and know that the advocacy for the truth in doing this kind of stuff, because a lot of times other people can't. It's like Irene and Earlene were going to the hotel today, and they don't really got to go. I got to go check on some bandwidth hotspot and kind of stuff in case we want to live stream and just do the final check and give, you know, numbers and dinners and all that kind of stuff. But I wanted them to go, and we scheduled it around so that they can go, so that I can train them. We've been going through this process, had some Zoom meetings, you know, give them the worksheets for the finances, and then, you know, kind of train them so they can do this on their own, either of them. And I told them I'd do that under the condition that they help train other people to do it too. I need them from all vectors of the whole valley of everybody doing a thing of kind of going, man, and making money. This is the one thing. Of course, when they first started, we'd be $20,000, you know, in the hole at the end of this. You let them just do whatever they want. We just do what we did last time. Well, what'd you do last time? I did it. You guys showed up. I mean, you know, so we only did it in 10 days. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So I'm going, you know, this and having them involved from the beginning so that they learn the negotiating part of it, the things to ask for, you know, what cost and how and kind of, so now they can hopefully put on another one. They'll probably lose money on the next one they do because they'll, you know, think they, whatever, you know, we'll see what happens. But I want them to be financially successful in this so they can keep doing it.
Right.
And this is going to be, we may not have, you know, the big dinners and, you know, the super duper, whatever the heck and so on, but you're going to get the top notch people. You have a long lunch. You can sit down with speakers and do them. We shaved off 5 minutes from 55 minutes to 50 minutes for all the speakers so that we could include Dale Bigtree in on it. And
we need to talk longer than that. In fact, I leave a lot of time for questions.
Yeah. So this is, you know, and I knew this would happen. I'm going to try and keep it about an hour just under, and kind of did the schedule knowing that, you know, yeah, stuff happens. And because usually you can get away with 30 to 45 minutes, you know, for a lot of speakers, more than that, and they're just yammering. But you have, you know, Q&A. Well, you know, I mean, if you can't say it in 30 minutes, you're just conning me or filling time or something. I'm like, man, skip to the end and cut back on the jargon. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? You know, right. So anyway. So if you see me in the back of the room, just raise my hand. It doesn't mean I want to talk. It means, what the hell did you just talk about?
I'm going to just show your cartoon and leave that cartoon up there and keep explaining. It's pretty easy to show, you know.
When we first went through this for the audience here on video, still watching, let me pull it up. It was when we were talking about how they use, you know, people parts, FDA approved, safe for kids, and all this freaking stuff that's in there. And what we did is one of our graphic artists, Athena, she made this. And it's a mouse-o-matic. And they just blend up all these animal parts, vaccines, and baby. I mean, boom. Yeah, I go, well, we can do that. Well, they did it. Did you get it colorized?
Yeah, I colored it to make it a black baby with a blue diaper. And then we made the red blood, you know, of the little viruses that are in that fermenter, because we have to culture it with animal cells or human cells and other things. And then the little mice go through the mouse-o-matic and they combine. You drop it in that fermenter, and in 2 weeks you take it out of that fermenter and you inject it in that baby, and you don't purify it and you don't do anything else because you don't have to because of that 1986 law of the act.
Wow. This is that illustration is not far off. That's how it's done.
Oh, not at all. It was perfect. And the only reason I colored it is because the people that are the most, the infants that are the most susceptible to getting hurt with the MMR
are black.
Are the black boys, because they don't have the ability to break down, to degrade those viruses as quickly as white children. So it's a form of genocide, a form of a Holocaust, a form of targeting that they know perfectly well about.
I guess black lives don't matter that much.
That's right.
You know, I was wondering, you know, the Nation of Islam and Louis Farrakhan, because they go and protest with you at the CDC in Atlanta, don't they?
Yep, they absolutely do.
I'm wondering, this would be a bit, how come this is not reported? See, this is my job. You know, this is where, let me tell you what's going to happen. I guarantee that on broadcast media here and during the campaign, that issue is brought up. I guarantee it. I guarantee that is going to be in the black community here. We're going to, you know, make sure that they know. I guarantee that their video is going to be distributed with this kind of information. I just want to make sure which ones, and not missing a new one coming out before I go, you know, do 10,000 of these DVDs when I might need to add something else later when it's Super Bowl time, you know, in the election. So they have no idea what they're up against. They think they do. And they're going to, you know, audit me or come out with whatever the hell they'll do. But I'm just going, you know, do you guys really want to play this game? Well, the answer is always yes. They're like, yeah. Okay. I warned you. You know, here we go. Wrote a song about it. Like, here you go. So this is the beginning, this vaccine education. And the only thing that I'm going to, I get my 5 minutes here and there to, you know, say what's up and lunch or something. My whole thing is, I'm going, look, you're dealing with Irene and Earlene and them, or you're dealing with us. Because I tell you, these guys, they'll talk to you and make all nice and, you know, go to your dinner and be sweet and how you're going to draft legislation and getting kind of, you're one of us and all that kind of crap. Not me. You either got it passed or what the hell good are you? You know, right. Either you're doing it or you're not doing it. And these guys are going to come out of the woodwork saying how much they're our friends, they lean towards, and more flies with honey and all that kind of crap. And I'm what? Why would I want flies? You know, I screw you guys. We're going to bring the pain, because you can't bring enough pleasure to counter the pharma. You're just not going to. So traitors first. This is how I operate. And it's from decades of, I know how, I don't give a crap what they say, bitch, whine, moan about whatever. I go, yeah, blah, blah, blah. If you're really on my side, you'd be glad I'm doing what I'm doing. But you're not, so you're not.
Yep. Yep. Well, I better go now.
All right.
I have a few victims to help today.
Oh, please. Go get them. Thank you, Dr. Judy. I look forward to seeing you next week at the summit.
Yep. See you next week, Ernie.
All right. Peace.